Direct energy conversion, a state-of-the-art appraisal for solar cells. In the past 10 years, direct energy conversion has undergone an almost explosive growth in both research and development. As a field, it continues to attract financial support from NASA, the Department of Defense, and private industry. It is able to attract this support because our society has demanded electrical power in geographical locations that become more remote with every passing year, from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean to the Sea of Tranquility on the lunar surface. Direct energy conversion is a method of converting one form of energy, primarily light, heat, or chemical energy, into electricity using fewer intermediate steps than the traditional methods of producing electricity. Traditional methods in this case means the usual steam power plant or hydroelectric plant that produces nearly all, greater than 99.9%, of the electricity used by the people of the world today. The chief advantage of direct conversion devices is that some of them offer the capability of generating electricity in locations far removed from the lines of the local power company. The chief disadvantage of the new methods is that few of them have achieved efficiencies or the ability to deliver large blocks of power that approach those of the more traditional methods. There are five types of devices that are now receiving the bulk of attention in the direct conversion field. One of the devices converts light to electricity. Three of the five essentially convert heat to electricity, and one converts chemical energy to electricity. Solar cells, upon being exposed to sunlight, produce electricity by virtue of a built-in electric field, which is produced by P- and N-type semiconductors in intimate contact. The built-in electric field provides a means of separating the charges liberated by the incoming sunlight. Thermoelectric devices also used P- and N-type semiconductors in their construction, but heat instead of light is used to produce the free charges. Thermionic engines are also powered by heat, but use an electron gas operating in a high vacuum as the working fluid. MHD generators are devices operating according to Faraday's law that produce a voltage and deliver power because a hot ionized gas is made to pass through a transverse magnetic field. Unlike the previously described generators, MHD devices are essentially central station prime movers that will produce megawatts of power instead of watts or kilowatts. The last of the five types of energy sources is the fuel cell, which changes the energy released during a chemical reaction directly into electricity without first turning it into heat, as happens in a conventional power plant. Solar cells. The silicon cell uses the built-in electric field created by adjacent slabs of P- and N-type semiconductors to separate the charges freed by the energy of the incoming photons in sunlight. Such cells are now 15 years old and have proven themselves to be a superbly reliable means for the direct conversion of solar radiation into electricity. Invented in 1954 by a team of scientists at the Bell Telephone Laboratories, the same team who invented the transistor, the silicon or solar cell has been developed to the point where all the permanent satellites and most of the long-range spacecraft launched by the United States and Russia during the past 10 years have used increasingly large arrays of solar cells. Originally, all solar cells were constructed with P-type semiconductors on top of N-type material, but such cells were found to be susceptible to rapid deterioration from solar radiation. Research carried out in both the USSR and the United States showed that by reversing the top layer and placing the N-type material on top of the P-type, and thus exposing the negative-type material to the sun's rays, the cell would have greatly superior radiation resistance. All of the cells being produced today are N-on-P type. Solar cells which have lithium diffused into the working material are now being investigated as another method of improving the radiation resistance of photovoltaic power sources. High-quality cells, 10 to 12% initial conversion efficiency, are now being manufactured in large numbers by suppliers in the United States and Europe. Most of today's cells are 2x2 centimeters in area, with a thickness as low as 0.1 millimeter. In full sunlight, 140 milliwatts per square centimeter, a typical 2x2 centimeter cell will give a short circuit current of about 125 milliamperes and an open circuit voltage of 0.5 volts at 60 degrees centigrade, and a maximum power of some 42 milliwatts. Deterioration due to electron bombardment is a serious problem for cells which are to be used on spacecraft which are traveling toward the sun. The generation of significant amounts of power requires series parallel connections of extremely large numbers of individual cells. The Saturn I workshop is being designed for as many as 350,000 individual cells. A major effort is now underway to produce larger individual cells, thus reducing the number of connections which must be made and improving the efficiency by reducing the area occupied by those connections. Experimental arrays of 2x8 centimeter cells have been produced, which reduce by a factor of 4 the number of junctions which must be made as compared with conventional 2x2 centimeter cells currently in use. Large area, 1x30 centimeter solar cells are being manufactured from webbed dendrite silicon. The process is not limited in size, and cells 2x30 centimeters and longer should prove practical. No dendritic cells have yet been used in space on actual solar array hardware. An active program of development is now in progress on developing high-power, large-area solar cell arrays. The goal of these programs is to develop arrays that spacecraft could carry aloft, capable of delivering up to 88 watts per kilogram. Good progress is now being made toward the development of these arrays. References for the reports on direct energy conversion are as follows. S.W. Angrist, Direct Energy Conversion, book published by Alline and Bacon, 2nd edition, 1971. H.A. Liebhofsky and E.J. Cairns, book published by John Wiley and Sons, Fuel Cells and Fuel Batteries, 1968. The Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, 1968 record, an IEEE publication, 68C21, Energy. Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, 1968. Proceedings of the 4th Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, New York, published by American Institute of Chemical Engineers, 1969. And finally, S.L. Su, Direct Energy Conversion, published 1968 by Prentice Hall, Incorporated. DATE, Dial Access Technical Education, is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list for this report on direct energy conversion, please send a self-addressed envelope with the title of the report to IEEE Headquarters, New York City. This report was prepared by Stanley W. Angrist, Associate Professor of Mechanical Engineering, Carnegie Mellon University. Direct Energy Conversion, a state-of-the-art appraisal for thermoelectric generators. In the past 10 years, direct energy conversion has undergone an almost explosive growth in both research and development. As a field, it continues to attract financial support from NASA, the Department of Defense, and private industry. It is able to attract this support because our society has demanded electrical power in geographical locations that become more remote with every passing year, from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean to the Sea of Tranquility on the lunar surface. Direct energy conversion is a method of converting one form of energy, primarily light, heat, or chemical energy, into electricity using fewer intermediate steps than the traditional methods of producing electricity. Traditional methods in this case means the usual steam power plant or hydroelectric plant that produces nearly all, greater than 99.9% of the electricity used by the people of the world today. The chief advantage of direct conversion devices is that some of them offer the capability of generating electricity in locations far removed from the lines of the local power company. The chief disadvantage of the new methods is that few of them have achieved efficiencies or the ability to deliver large blocks of power that approach those of the more traditional methods. There are five types of devices that are now receiving the bulk of attention in the direct conversion field. One of the devices converts light to electricity, three of the five essentially convert heat to electricity, and one converts chemical energy to electricity. Solar cells, upon being exposed to sunlight, produce electricity by virtue of a built-in electric field, which is produced by P and N-type semiconductors in intimate contact. The built-in electric field provides a means of separating the charges liberated by the incoming sunlight. Thermoelectric devices also used P and N-type semiconductors in their construction, but heat instead of light is used to produce the free charges. Thermionic engines are also powered by heat, but use an electron gas operating in a high vacuum as the working fluid. MHD generators are devices operating according to Faraday's law that produce a voltage and deliver power because a hot ionized gas is made to pass through a transverse magnetic field. Unlike the previously described generators, MHD devices are essentially central station prime movers that will produce megawatts of power instead of watts or kilowatts. The last of the five types of energy sources is the fuel cell, which changes the energy released during a chemical reaction directly into electricity without first turning it into heat, as happens in a conventional power plant. Thermoelectric generators. Much of the zeal that permeated the field of thermoelectric generators in 1958 is now gone. That is not to say, however, that there is no interest in this area of direct conversion. New units are under continuous development and are finding application in a number of areas. The 3M company has developed and built both 10 and 20 watt net electrical output thermoelectric generators using strontium-90 as an isotopic heat source. These units are designed to be implanted in the ocean as electrical power sources for oceanographic equipment. Four of the strontium-90 fueled prototypes have been constructed so far. They are designed to have a life of 5 years. A thermoelectric unit, designated SNAP-27, built by General Electric for the AEC, is now on the lunar surface and is currently supplying over 70 watts of electrical power for an array of scientific equipment. It also powers the radio transmitter, which sends back to Earth the information that is collected by the scientific information package. This unit was placed on the lunar surface by Apollo 12 and is fueled by plutonium-238, whose decay heat, 1480 watts, is turned into a minimum of 63.5 watts of electrical power by a network of lead telluride thermoelectric elements with an overall thermal efficiency of better than 4%. The entire power generator is 45 centimeters high and 41 centimeters in diameter. Another design that is already in the fabrication stage is for a power supply system for a spacecraft which will have orbits that take them close to the sun. Solar cells do not appear to be very well suited for such missions for two reasons. One, the high solar heat flux tends to produce high cell temperatures, and two, the high incident particle flux causes cell damage. Both conditions tend to degrade cell performance. Thermoelectric energy conversion systems seem more attractive as sources of auxiliary power for near-sun missions because thermoelectric materials, especially the silicon-germanium alloys, are ideally suited for high-temperature operation and because they are relatively insensitive to radiation damage. The unit that was designed by the RCA Electronic Components Division consisted of 548 PN semiconductor pairs of silicon-germanium alloy combined in a series parallel array. The generator consisted of two panels delivering a nominal 150 watts at 28 volts, with an overall solar receiving area of about 0.42 meters squared and an overall weight of about 6.5 kilograms. At 1/4 of an astronomical unit, an astronomical unit is the distance from the Earth to the Sun, the unit is expected to have an overall efficiency of about 3.5% and deliver power at 24 watts per kilogram weight. Both of these numbers improve as the unit moves closer to the Sun. Thermoelectric devices utilizing the Peltier effect rather than the Seebeck effect have also received considerable attention for their use as portable, silent air conditioning units. Considerable design work has been done for the Army on a cooling unit for a field van that houses electronic equipment. The Navy has also selected a thermoelectric air conditioner for a deep submergence search vehicle to be used to aid disabled submarines. The device that was accepted by the Navy was a 4,270-watt hybrid thermoelectric environmental control unit. References for the reports on direct energy conversion are as follows. S.W. Angrist, Direct Energy Conversion, book published by Alline and Bacon, 2nd edition, 1971. H.A. Liebhofsky and E.J. Cairns, book published by John Wiley and Sons, Fuel Cells and Fuel Batteries, 1968. The Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, 1968 record, an IEEE publication, 68C21, Energy, Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, 1968. Proceedings of the 4th Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, New York, published by American Institute of Chemical Engineers, 1969. And finally, S.L. Su, Direct Energy Conversion, published 1968 by Prentice Hall, Incorporated. DATE, Dial Access Technical Education, is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list for this report on direct energy conversion, please send a self-addressed envelope with the title of the report to IEEE Headquarters, New York City. This report was prepared by Stanley W. Angrist, Associate Professor of Mechanical Engineering, Carnegie Mellon University. Direct Energy Conversion, a state-of-the-art appraisal for thermionic systems. In the past 10 years, direct energy conversion has undergone an almost explosive growth in both research and development. As a field, it continues to attract financial support from NASA, the Department of Defense, and private industry. It is able to attract this support because our society has demanded electrical power in geographical locations that become more remote with every passing year, from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean to the Sea of Tranquility on the lunar surface. Direct energy conversion is a method of converting one form of energy, primarily light, heat, or chemical energy, into electricity using fewer intermediate steps than the traditional methods of producing electricity. Traditional methods in this case means the usual steam power plant or hydroelectric plant that produces nearly all, greater than 99.9%, of the electricity used by the people of the world today. The chief advantage of direct conversion devices is that some of them offer the capability of generating electricity in locations far removed from the lines of the local power company. The chief disadvantage of the new methods is that few of them have achieved efficiencies or the ability to deliver large blocks of power that approach those of the more traditional methods. There are five types of devices that are now receiving the bulk of attention in the direct conversion field. One of the devices converts light to electricity, three of the five essentially convert heat to electricity, and one converts chemical energy to electricity. Solar cells, upon being exposed to sunlight, produce electricity by virtue of a built-in electric field, which is produced by P and N-type semiconductors in intimate contact. The built-in electric field provides a means of separating the charges liberated by the incoming sunlight. Thermoelectric devices also used P- and N-type semiconductors in their construction, but heat instead of light is used to produce the free charges. Thermionic engines are also powered by heat, but use an electron gas operating in a high vacuum as the working fluid. MHD generators are devices operating according to Faraday's law that produce a voltage and deliver power because a hot ionized gas is made to pass through a transverse magnetic field. Unlike the previously described generators, MHD devices are essentially central station prime movers that will produce megawatts of power instead of watts or kilowatts. The last of the five types of energy sources is the fuel cell, which changes the energy released during a chemical reaction directly into electricity without first turning it into heat, as happens in a conventional power plant. Thermionic systems. In recent years, steady progress has been made in the development of a thermionic reactor system. A thermionic reactor system is made by making a thermionic converter an integral part of the cladding of the nuclear fuel elements in a reactor. In this way, the decay heat from the fuel element drives electrons out of the emitter surface, which is the immediate casing around the fuel rod, across a small inter-electrode gap and onto the surface of the collector element. Once on the collector surface, the electrons are then delivered to an external load. A conventionally fired thermionic unit works in exactly the same way, except that the heat is derived from the sun's rays or from the combustion of a fossil fuel. Much of the effort that has been expended to date on nuclear thermionic systems has gone into trying to develop a system suitable for powering an electric propulsion system for long-range space missions. In order to be of interest to designers of such missions, the emitter surface must be maintained at 1500 to 1800 degrees centigrade, the collector at 600 to 900 degrees. Spacing between electrodes must be on the order of 0.25 millimeters, and the inter-electrode space must be filled with cesium gas to prevent negative space charge buildup at pressures of 1 to 10 torr. In pile experiments with thermionic devices have demonstrated that single cells can operate as long as 8,000 hours and multicell units as long as 2,000 hours. Power densities on single cell units have approached 10 watts per square centimeter, with efficiencies of around 12%. Performance parameters of in pile multiple cells are generally half of these figures. Thermionic units have also been proposed to be used in fossil fuel central station power plants. Present power plant practice limits the usable source temperature to approximately 800 degrees Kelvin, that is 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. This restriction is primarily the result of the pressure-temperature characteristic of the steam, along with the allowable stress values for economically feasible materials. Fossil fuels are capable of delivering much higher temperatures than 800 degrees Kelvin. Thus, it is obvious that the efficiency of central station power plants can be raised by using more of the temperature potential of fossil fuels. Thermionic topping is one means of using this high temperature potential. The heat rejected from the thermionic converters can then be supplied to a conventional steam plant. Studies made on the TVA Bull Run Station indicate that the plant's total output power and efficiency would increase, because of thermionic topping, from 914 megawatts at 41.3% to 1139 megawatts at 50.6%, while the fuel flow increases only 2%. Primarily because of reductions in boiler house volume, the same study claims an 8% reduction in direct plant costs, as well as a $3 million per year saving in fuel costs. As an additional bonus to those already mentioned, an addition to such a plant would produce significant reductions in thermal pollution because of reductions in the amount of energy ultimately rejected by the plant, and reduction in atmospheric pollution because of the significantly higher temperatures in the combustion chambers that supply energy to the thermionic converters. References for the reports on direct energy conversion are as follows. S.W. Angrist, Direct Energy Conversion, book published by Alline and Bacon, 2nd edition, 1971. H.A. Liebhofsky and E.J. Cairns, book published by John Wiley and Sons, Fuel Cells and Fuel Batteries, 1968. The Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, 1968 record, an IEEE publication, 68C21, Energy. Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, 1968. Proceedings of the 4th Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, New York. Published by American Institute of Chemical Engineers, 1969. And finally, S.L. Su, Direct Energy Conversion, published 1968 by Prentice Hall, Incorporated. Date, Dial Access Technical Education, is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list for this report on direct energy conversion, please send a self-addressed envelope with the title of the report to IEEE Headquarters, New York City. This report was prepared by Stanley W. Angrist, Associate Professor of Mechanical Engineering, Carnegie Mellon University. Direct Energy Conversion, a state-of-the-art appraisal for magnetohydrodynamic power generation. In the past 10 years, direct energy conversion has undergone an almost explosive growth in both research and development. As a field, it continues to attract financial support from NASA, the Department of Defense, and private industry. It is able to attract this support because our society has demanded electrical power in geographical locations that become more remote with every passing year, from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean to the Sea of Tranquility on the lunar surface. Direct energy conversion is a method of converting one form of energy, primarily light, heat, or chemical energy, into electricity using fewer intermediate steps than the traditional methods of producing electricity. Traditional methods in this case means the usual steam power plant or hydroelectric plant that produces nearly all, greater than 99.9%, of the electricity used by the people of the world today. The chief advantage of direct conversion devices is that some of them offer the capability of generating electricity in locations far removed from the lines of the local power company. The chief disadvantage of the new methods is that few of them have achieved efficiencies or the ability to deliver large blocks of power that approach those of the more traditional methods. There are 5 types of devices that are now receiving the bulk of attention in the direct conversion field. One of the devices converts light to electricity, 3 of the 5 essentially convert heat to electricity, and 1 converts chemical energy to electricity. Solar cells, upon being exposed to sunlight, produce electricity by virtue of a built-in electric field, which is produced by P- and N-type semiconductors in intimate contact. The built-in electric field provides a means of separating the charges liberated by the incoming sunlight. Thermoelectric devices also used P- and N-type semiconductors in their construction, but heat instead of light is used to produce the free charges. Thermionic engines are also powered by heat, but use an electron gas operating in a high vacuum as the working fluid. MHD generators are devices operating according to Faraday's law that produce a voltage and deliver power because a hot ionized gas is made to pass through a transverse magnetic field. Unlike the previously described generators, MHD devices are essentially central station prime movers that will produce megawatts of power instead of watts or kilowatts. The last of the 5 types of energy sources is the fuel cell, which changes the energy released during a chemical reaction directly into electricity without first turning it into heat, as happens in a conventional power plant. MHD, magnetohydrodynamic power generation. MHD power generation is accomplished by directing a conducting gas at high velocity, up to 2100 meters per second, through a magnetic field to obtain a voltage. This system obviously has the advantage of combining the heat engine and dynamo in the same device. It will also operate at temperatures up to the flame temperature of the highest performance fuels available, so that its efficiency as a heat engine is quite high. These characteristics make MHD power generation suitable for two classes of applications. The first is for high-efficiency MHD-topped steam plants for central power, and the second is for quick-starting generators of relatively low thermal efficiency. The last group includes use in peak central power, airborne applications, space applications, and high-power laboratory supplies. If an MHD topping system is added to a conventional steam power plant, a major increase in thermal efficiency is possible, from the present maximum of approximately 40% to approximately 55% or above. As an MHD generator is a true topper in the sense that it does not use any portion of the combustion gas temperature range used in the conventional plant, the energy utilized by the MHD plant will result in a lower net heat rate for the combined plant. The large effect of a deceptively modest increase in overall thermal efficiency, say 40% raised to 55%, can result in a 27% decrease in specific fuel consumption. The engineering development of the MHD steam plant will not only assure that fossil fuels will continue to be used most economically for many decades, but will also provide the background necessary for development of MHD nuclear power generating plants. The major increase in plant efficiency obtainable through MHD topping will help to alleviate the problems of air and water pollution associated with present large plants. The effluent and waste heat associated with 1 kilowatt hour of electricity can be reduced to 39% of the level of the best current nuclear plants and 55% of that of current steam plants. In both classes of applications, short endurance quick starting generators of low thermal efficiency and high efficiency long endurance MHD topped steam plants for central power, there are special technical requirements. But there are common basic topics for research and development. The common problems arise from the difficulty in understanding the basic physical processes in an MHD generator. Here one has electrical equations combined with gas dynamic equations, resulting in a system difficult to solve without sweeping approximations. The fact that those equations cannot be solved exactly does not mean that one cannot build MHD generators that operate satisfactorily. For practical construction, one must usually go to simplified equations incorporating engineering constants which are empirically obtained. Empirical electrical constants in MHD generator design are gas conductivity, Hall parameter, and channel averaged electrode drop. Additional experimentally determined quantities are boundary layer separation, thickness, and heat transfer. There are elaborate theoretical attacks on all of these quantities, but one sees that the theory does not work well enough under conditions where generator operating data are not available to use with confidence. There is thus an opportunity to improve the theory and widen the amount of experimental data as well. These parameters are needed to perform even the simplest calculation on the local power density, power per unit volume, in generators. The research and development topics discussed above are only the beginning of a development effort which may be one of the important engineering accomplishments of the coming decade. References for the reports on direct energy conversion are as follows. S. W. Angrist, Direct Energy Conversion, book published by Alline and Bacon, 2nd edition, 1971. H. A. Liebhofsky and E. J. Cairns, book published by John Wiley and Sons, Fuel Cells and Fuel Batteries, 1968. The Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, 1968 record, an IEEE publication, 68C21, Energy. Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, 1968. Proceedings of the 4th Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, New York. Published by American Institute of Chemical Engineers, 1969. And finally, S.L. Su, Direct Energy Conversion, published 1968 by Prentice Hall, Incorporated. Date, Dial Access Technical Education is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list for this report on direct energy conversion, please send a self-addressed envelope with the title of the report to IEEE Headquarters, New York City. This report was prepared by Stanley W. Angrist, Associate Professor of Mechanical Engineering, Carnegie Mellon University. Direct Energy Conversion, a state-of-the-art appraisal for fuel cells. In the past 10 years, direct energy conversion has undergone an almost explosive growth in both research and development. As a field, it continues to attract financial support from NASA, the Department of Defense, and private industry. It is able to attract this support because our society has demanded electrical power in geographical locations that become more remote with every passing year, from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean to the Sea of Tranquility on the lunar surface. Direct energy conversion is a method of converting one form of energy, primarily light, heat, or chemical energy, into electricity using fewer intermediate steps than the traditional methods of producing electricity. Traditional methods in this case means the usual steam power plant or hydroelectric plant that produces nearly all, greater than 99.9%, of the electricity used by the people of the world today. The chief advantage of direct conversion devices is that some of them offer the capability of generating electricity in locations far removed from the lines of the local power company. The chief disadvantage of the new methods is that few of them have achieved efficiencies or the ability to deliver large blocks of power that approach those of the more traditional methods. There are 5 types of devices that are now receiving the bulk of attention in the direct conversion field. One of the devices converts light to electricity, 3 of the 5 essentially convert heat to electricity, and 1 converts chemical energy to electricity. Solar cells, upon being exposed to sunlight, produce electricity by virtue of a built-in electric field, which is produced by P- and N-type semiconductors in intimate contact. The built-in electric field provides a means of separating the charges liberated by the incoming sunlight. Thermoelectric devices also used P- and N-type semiconductors in their construction, but heat instead of light is used to produce the free charges. Thermionic engines are also powered by heat, but use an electron gas operating in a high vacuum as the working fluid. MHD generators are devices operating according to Faraday's law that produce a voltage and deliver power because a hot ionized gas is made to pass through a transverse magnetic field. Unlike the previously described generators, MHD devices are essentially central station prime movers that will produce megawatts of power instead of watts or kilowatts. The last of the 5 types of energy sources is the fuel cell, which changes the energy released during a chemical reaction directly into electricity without first turning it into heat, as happens in a conventional power plant. Fuel cells. A fuel cell is an electrochemical device in which the chemical energy of a conventional fuel is converted directly and efficiently into low-voltage, direct-current electrical energy. One of the chief advantages of such a device is that because the conversion, at least in theory, can be carried out isothermally, the Carnot limitation on efficiency does not apply. A fuel cell is often described as a primary battery in which fuel and oxidizer are stored external to the battery and are fed to it as needed. The principle underlying any combustion reaction, whether it be in a fuel cell or a heat engine, is the same. The combustion reaction involves a transfer of electrons from the fuel molecules, thus oxidizing them, to the oxidizer molecules, thus reducing them. In the heat engine, fuel and oxidizer molecules are intimately mixed, so that electrons pass directly from fuel molecules to oxidizer molecules. The fuel cell is a device that keeps the fuel molecules from mixing with the oxidizer molecules, permitting, however, the transfer of electrons by a metallic path which may contain a load. The cells which have been most extensively developed are those which use hydrogen as their fuel and either oxygen or oxygen within air as the oxidant, producing water as a product. Alice Chalmers has successfully developed 3 basic building block fuel cell modules for space use. Their cells include a radiation-cooled 200-watt module, a gas-slash-liquid-cooled 2,000-watt module, and a liquid-cooled 5,000-watt module. Each of these fuel cell modules employs a capillary matrix electrode electrolyte concept for water management. Water management and heat transfer are 2 of the main problems that must be solved in all H2O2 cells. A hydrogen-air fuel cell system that uses an auxiliary pump to circulate a potassium hydroxide electrolyte has been successfully developed to the breadboard state by a group in Great Britain. The unit is designed to deliver 2.5 kilowatts of net power with a short-term overload capacity of 5 kilowatts. The basic electrode structure consists of a porous nickel substrate supporting a catalyst consisting of a mixture of platinum and polytetrafluoroethylene, or PTFE. The PTFE material has turned out to be an excellent wet-proofing material which inhibits flooding of electrodes. It now appears that circulating electrolyte systems offer another relatively simple system to control heat and water in a hydrogen-oxygen cell. The ion exchange membrane, IEM fuel cell, developed by the General Electric Company in the last 15 years, is an important innovation in a field in which sharp breakthroughs come rather infrequently. As the power supply for the Gemini spacecraft, they recorded one of the most widely heralded successes in fuel cells to date. An ion exchange membrane is a quasi-solid electrolyte, which eliminates the need for gas diffusion electrodes. Thus, the electrodes can be made, in at least some cases, from platinum black on a titanium wire screen. The backbone of the electrolyte is a complex three-dimensional network of polystyrene molecules. The polystyrene, as prepared, contains no ions and will not retain appreciable amounts of water. Improvement in these fuel cells depends to a great extent on improvement in the membranes. It is believed that such improvements could lead to life capabilities in the 2,000 to 5,000 hour range with power densities an order of magnitude or greater than those obtained in the Gemini system, which was 32 watts per kilogram. Gaseous fuels demand a porous electrode so constructed that the required electrochemical reaction takes place at the gas-liquid-solid interfaces. If the fuel is soluble in the electrolyte, electrode construction is simpler. A thin conducting sheet supporting a catalytically active material, if necessary, is basically all that is required. Moreover, liquid fuels are generally easier to store and transport in comparison with gaseous fuels. For these reasons, the development of fuel cells utilizing electrolyte-soluble fuels has become the object of intense research in recent years. A number of fuels have been considered, including ammonia, hydrazine, and methanol. Both ammonia, NH3, and hydrazine, N2H4, are convenient ways to store and transport hydrogen in liquid form for reaction at a fuel cell anode. Hydrazine is much the more reactive and much the more costly. Hydrazine will probably find early application where its cost of $3 per kilowatt hour can be tolerated. No commercially attractive fuel cells using methanol have yet been developed, primarily because no known electrocatalyst will yield a suitably high current density at an acceptable degree of polarization. Both Westinghouse and General Electric have carried out rather extensive work on cells using zirconia-type solid oxide electrolytes in cells operating at temperatures as high as 1,000 degrees centigrade. Both single and multicell packs have been tested over long operating periods. Such cells probably operate according to the following scheme if a mixture of hydrogen and carbon monoxide are used as fuel. Oxygen atoms are ionized at the cathode. These migrate through the solid electrolyte lattice. Fuel at the anode reacts with the oxide ions, resulting in the formation of water vapor and carbon dioxide. Certainly one of the most intriguing types of fuel cells that has been considered to date is a cell in which one or both electrode reactions are promoted or catalyzed by biological processes. Research impetus has stemmed from two considerations. First, the vast quantities of vegetable and animal wastes that might be used as a source of electrical energy, and second, the need to eliminate organic waste material from closed environments such as spacecraft. Biochemical cells can conveniently be divided into two main types. 1. Indirect cells in which the fuel fed to the organism is converted into a waste product which can be removed and utilized in a separate fuel cell. And 2. Direct cells in which the organism provides a continuous supply of the enzymes required by the biochemical, electrochemical process, in which case the organism derives no benefit from the process and perishes. Alternatively, the organism in a direct cell may grow in the neighborhood of the electrode, and the waste product of its metabolism, ammonia, ethanol, hydrogen, etc., may be utilized directly for the production of electricity. In at least two cases, indirect biochemical fuel cells have been reduced to practice. One cell that has been reported on used for fuel the juice from a single coconut and as oxidant air, functioning intermittently over a period of 45 days for a total of 50 hours operation. During this time, the cell delivered about 380 milliwatt hours of electricity at an average voltage of 1.5 volts. Ion exchange membranes were used in both successful cells. References for the reports on direct energy conversion are as follows. S. W. Angrist, Direct Energy Conversion, book published by Alline and Bacon, 2nd edition, 1971. H. A. Liebhofsky and E. J. Cairns, book published by John Wiley and Sons, Fuel Cells and Fuel Batteries, 1968. The Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, 1968 record, an IEEE publication, 68C21, Energy, Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, 1968. Proceedings of the 4th Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, New York, published by American Institute of Chemical Engineers, 1969. And finally, S.L. Su, Direct Energy Conversion, published 1968 by Prentice Hall, Incorporated. Date, Dial Access Technical Education, is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list for this report on direct energy conversion, please send a self-addressed envelope with the title of the report to IEEE Headquarters, New York City. This report was prepared by Stanley W. Angrist, Associate Professor of Mechanical Engineering, Carnegie Mellon University.